Have you ever had a flat tire? Do you know what to do? Have you thought about the consequences of trying to land the aircraft with the flat tire? Well, it happened to me the other day, and I'm going to tell you all about it. That's coming right up. So strap in and let's get into it.
Send by star 9000 1013 KF25. Coordinating aileron on the bank balance. Bank pressure rolling to 30 degrees. That's 30 degrees there.
Dial left runway 291631.
G'day everyone and welcome to episode 118 of the Flight Training Australia podcast. From the sunny coast to Byron Bay, Gold Coast to Caboolture and everywhere in between, this is the podcast all about flight training and flying in Australia and beyond. G'day, I'm your host Trent Robinson. Thank you for joining me. Yep, I am back. Had a couple of weeks off. Not that you really probably noticed because I was a good boy and I pre-recorded some podcasts for you. But I'm doing this one late at night because, I don't know, I've just been dilly-dallying and trying to think about what to talk to you all about. But I had a fantastic time. It was really great break with my wife over in beautiful, sunny, mostly sunny Queensland, and caught up with a bunch of you, which was awesome. So firstly, everyone out at Advanced Flight Theory checking out their ATPL set up there now. Fantastic new facilities Nathan's got. Really, really awesome. And to catch up with Vanessa and Kate, g'day, and all the students that were there as well. So there's a heap of them there. It was really nice to just have a quick presentation and talk about things post-commercial flight training and all the different options. And then had a fantastic barbecue lunch, which was provided by the Aero Club. So thank you for that, guys, and for having me. Really, really great to meet you all, and hopefully you're getting through those exams. And also swung by very quickly down to Flight 1 in Gold Coast and the Aviation Museum at Caboolture and checked that out as well. So, sorry, not Caboolture, Caloundra. So that was really, really awesome. And had a quick chat to the students down at Flight 1. So thanks to Harrison, who helped organise that, one of my former instructors up here in Darwin. He's working down there now and spoke to a bunch of students there as well. It is a daunting world out there, no doubt, but there is heaps of great content in many episodes, which I'm sure you've all caught onto now. And if you still haven't listened to those, what are you doing? Get onto it straight away. So literally the day before I went on leave, I got a flat tire. And you'd probably think it was a main tire. That's usually the one that goes on you, landing with the feet on the brakes or something. But no, this was the nose wheel. So that helped me up. I wasn't too impressed, but hey, it's all part of aviation. And it, as it turned out, it was actually a really good lesson for the pilot I was flying with, doing some 210 time, and the decision-making that we went through and why we stopped where we stopped rather than trying to put this thing down in Darwin. So I'll take you through the whole process. It also raised a few interesting points with regards to pre-flight inspections, which may or may not have contributed, but certainly something I got out of it. So I'm sure you will as well. So as I said, it was in the 210 and we were doing general handling of circuits, all part of the proficiency training that I do up here. And we did the pre-flight, refueled the aircraft, and I did notice that the nose wheel was a little bit low, but it didn't seem anything grossly bad, otherwise I would have put some air in it. It had just gone to the maintenance facility a few days before, and they didn't really do anything about it, and they were looking at it. So I kind of, I guess this is this confirmation bias thing that I thought, well, you know, they didn't say anything, it should be fine. And off we went flying. So we did all that general handling and circuit work. Nice circuits, no hard landings, anything like that at all. But I noticed that when the student or the pilot, he's not a student anymore, he's a commercial pilot. But yeah, when he was backing off the back pressure on landing, the nose seemed to be going a lot lower and it was really cavitating a little bit. I thought, oh, okay, maybe the shimmy damper or something like that's playing up. Anyway, do a touch and go, come around. He was holding the nose up nicely in that one and no real major issues. Went around again, did another circuit, touch and go when I say went around, not going around. And the next one backed off the back pressure again. It really started vibrating. Oh, you don't like this, and pull up. And I'm like, I think the nose wheel's gone. So now we had a bit of a decision to make. We did a touch and go, took the back pressure off it, went back into the air, retracted the gear. And we were at MKT. So MKT is about a 30-minute drive south of Darwin. It's only about 13 miles south of Darwin Airport as the crow flies, but a 30-minute drive. And there is a maintenance facility. I noticed that I looked down there that the aircraft maintainer, Boyd, thanks for your help with the following story, but Boyd, his car was there, so I was pretty sure that help would be available. We were going to get the aircraft on the ground. It was going to stop, obviously. We wouldn't be able to get it off the runway, so this was a big consideration. If I was going to take the aircraft to Darwin, it most likely probably would have been trying to bring me in on runway 36. Now, that wouldn't have worked because it was quite a significant crosswind, and I probably wouldn't really want to be doing that with a bad nose wheel aircraft, although we could probably get it down okay, which could potentially would have meant runway 29. Now, for those unfamiliar with Darwin, runway 29 is the main runway. So you can imagine then a disabled aircraft at about 5 o'clock, 5:30 on a Friday afternoon when all the maintenance organisations have gone. It was going to be a little while before we could get that aircraft off the runway and nose wheel back on and taxi away again. So I wasn't very keen on that. So the decision was that we'd come in and land at MKT. So we did that, touched down nicely, came to a stop, held the nose back pressure off as long as we could as the aircraft decelerated and came to a stop. And, sure enough, it was nose attitude was much lower than normal, was wobbling around all over the place, and it was definitely the nose wheel that's flat once we got out of the aircraft. So what do we do now? Well, like I said, I was pretty sure the local maintainer was there, and he was, which was fantastic. So I gave him a call. He drove out. We towed the aircraft off the runway just to the side. Again, MKT is a pretty quiet airstrip. No one was around. No one was flying. And that made life a lot less stressful. Brought out the bits and pieces. We got a hoist and hooked up to the engine block, lifted the nose wheel off the ground because it was in soft grass. And we removed the nose wheel. Now, it wasn't until we got back to the maintenance facility, which is just at the other end of the runway, that we pulled the tire apart and had a look. And sure enough, the inner tube was just like someone had got a knife and cut it all the way around. It was just completely shredded. And there was some wire and all the usual bits you think of. The tire itself had just completely broken down, possibly from our multiple circuits, but potentially an indication of a slightly underinflated nose wheel. So there you go. Could have been that. Maybe other things could be a combination of, but either way, probably could have done with a little bit of air. Again, it wasn't what I considered particularly low, but I just noticed it wasn't as pumped up as it normally is. So can't really get a full thing, but what the little moral of the story that I wanted to pass on was, if you do look like, you know, aeroplane tires are low on air, put some in. If you don't have the pressures, they're all in the POH, so you can look those up and top them up. You can go to the local maintainer, get them to do it, and there's usually an air compressor or something around. For us, a lot of the aircraft that I'm using are private aircraft, so having a little handheld air compressor, there's little Ryobi ones or anything like that, Makita ones, there's a whole heap that you can use and won't pump up a bunch of car tires, but they certainly will top up aeroplane tires very easily, and then the battery just goes back on charge ready for next time. Really handy to have in the hangar. If you've never pumped up an aircraft tire, then again, it's just like a car tire, really simple. It's not until you get into much bigger aircraft that we start dealing with nitrogen-filled tires and all that sort of thing. So it's just normal air. And as I said, the POH will have the recommended nose and main gear tire pressures that you need to use. So yeah, so we put the tire on, got it all back together again, and off we went and then landed back at Darwin on runway 36 with a nice big crosswind quite successfully, and all good, no further harm done. So, yeah, it made me realise just the significance of that nose wheel tyre pressure. And normally, you know, you think about mains, but the nose is just as important. It's supporting a lot of weight, especially under the nose wheel with the engine right on top of it there. So we definitely want to get all that topped up and ready to go. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Nice short one, but it is good to be back, feeling nice and refreshed. Got a heap of flying planned as we all do. A lot of the questions and things that I got asked whilst I was away, I might do a little summary episode, I guess, is the, I don't know, the top 10 things to do after leaving flight school or something. But if you've got any questions, anything, any topic at all, send me a message, email, Instagram, Facebook, it's all there. Episode description has all the details. I'm getting a bunch of messages. I will get back to you. It might take a few days, but I will definitely respond. If you take the time to message me, I will definitely get back to you. So thank you to everyone who does. And also for feeding back all your wonderful stories and things. A bunch of you have said how the podcast have helped you get jobs lately, get through flight tests, and just hearing those little updates, especially when we talk months earlier or even a year earlier, and to hear where you've got to, it's that's what I want to hear, those amazing stories. So keep them coming, guys. It's fantastic. All right, until next time, blue skies, and remember the golden rule: aviate, navigate, communicate. Cheers, everybody.